Hello, everyone. This is Reverend Lindsay again, and I'm so glad and grateful that you're here for part two of our stay-at-home worship podcast for June 7th, 2020, Trinity Sunday. Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Speaker, Word, and Breath, Mother, Brother, Friend. There are many ways of speaking of the Trinity, but I really don't want to preach on the church doctrine of the Trinity today. The very word doctrine is off-putting. But the concept of a Trinitarian or triune God is, I think, vitally important to our understanding of God and of humanity. Maybe extra vitally important in this time in history. Governor Cuomo likes to reference the Latin motto added just recently on our New York State seal, E Pluribus Unum. It is, of course, a traditional motto of our country, too. Out of many, one. Let's leave aside for now whether we, many in this nation, are capable of being truly one. And let's think of that phrase in relation to the Trinity. Franciscan priest Richard Rohr says, in trying to make sense of the Trinity, don't start with the one and try to make it into three. Start with the three and see that this is the deepest nature of the one. Start with the three. It is the deepest nature of the one. Poet Ken Stork urges, expand. Expand, do not contract, God. If the threeness of God is the starting point, where might that lead us? What does it tell us about who God is, what God cares about, how God acts? And then, what might it tell us about ourselves, us? Frail creatures nonetheless created in the very image of God. If God is innately three, then God doesn't just think community is a good thing, diversity is something to strive for, relationships are something to encourage. If God is three, then God is community. God is relationship. God is movement and interaction and intimacy. God is diversity in and of God's self. Wow. I think of our Genesis reading when God makes humankind in God's image, and I realize, starting right at the beginning of the Bible, there is something about this magnificent, generous, creative God that cannot be contained in a singular pronoun. Something abundant, life, love, artistry, passion, nurture that spills over from this singular, plural God who needs to create, to make more room for such limitless life, such boundless love. I am, by the way, grateful to writer Debbie Thomas, whose insights on the Trinity were very helpful in organizing my thoughts for today. So she asks, why do we fear difference so much when difference lies at the very heart of God's nature? God is diverse, and God created diversity in God's image. God created one race, the human race. Varied and diverse, but one. E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. But how can we, as a people, be one unless we acknowledge our manyness, acknowledge and value and celebrate and nurture our differentness, and acknowledge, confess, and repent of the ways that we as a nation have ignored, effaced and tried to actually erase the image of God in so many of our people, particularly people of color. Forget the image of God, the image of humankind. The only way I think that we can treat one another with such callous disregard for life is if we see another as less than human, less than human. And so in effacing God's image in others, we erase it in ourselves. You know, in the ancient Near East, there were many creation stories, many myths where the world came into being through murders or the violent battles of competing gods. The ancient Hebrew people told a different story, a story that affirmed the one God of Israel as the God of all creation, who created the whole world for good. So in the beginning, there is no warfare, no bloodshed, no violence, only a majestic silence and awe-inspiring darkness. The earth is a mere formless void, tohu vavohu in Hebrew, which even sounds formless and empty. The earth is an amorphous nothingness, and everything else, watery bleakness. All is silent. And then, the breath of God sweeps across the murky waters of chaos. And into that nothingness, that watery wasteland, God speaks. In the beginning was the Word, the Gospel of John begins. Indeed, God speaks. No battle, no bloodshed, but language, voice, the opposite of violence. Creative, not destructive. Reasonable, relational, communicative. For the purpose of speech is to communicate. We speak to another. So God creates almost everything, but then, whether it was all part of the divine plan or a last-minute flash of divine inspiration, God says, let's make human beings, creatures of the earth, yes, but also like God, like us, God says, reflecting our image. So God created humankind in God's image. And God blessed them and so brought to fulfillment a glorious creation whose goodness is found in relationship. The relationship of light and dark, earth and sea and sky, plants and animals, fish and birds, people and each other, people and God's creation, people and God. All communities and families tell stories of their beginnings. Valuable stories that help us understand our place in the world, that affirm our identities, remind us whose we are. And so with the story of Genesis, the story of the family of all humankind, which tells of how God created heaven and earth and everything. But it's less a story, it turns out, about beginnings, about God's creation, than about the Creator. It tells us who we are because it tells us who God is, the one who called us into being, not through violence or terror or domination, but in joyful, interpersonal creativity, fashioning a world for community, for wholeness, creation to creation, creation to God, the God to whom we belong. And yet, we human beings struggle against the ties that bind us to one another, to God's good world, and to God. We break those bonds time and again, abuse one another, ravage the earth and its creatures, turn away from God. And right now, we are seeing where that has led us. Back to the brink of the formless void. To an endless cycle of violence. Remember, we are a nation founded by and on violence. A violent armed revolution. And well before that, the unspeakable personal and institutional violence of the enslavement of black people made in God's image by white people made in God's image. And so, we as a nation tell ourselves stories that convince us that it is good when we act like owners, not stewards, holding tight to what we have been given, privilege and possessions and power and place. That it is good when we are consumers, not caregivers of God's good world. Other stories that say, oh, it's an ugly old world, and you better watch out for yourselves and the devil take the rest. Ignoring the beautiful image of God that is all around us, in neighbor and enemy alike. And those stories are seductive because they build on our fears and our longing for security. They uphold our self-righteousness, our defensiveness. They speak to our sense of powerlessness in a world that often seems like a tohu vavohu, a formless void, spinning out of control. And so they have caused us to lose our way. But tempting as it is, this is not the time to lose heart. This is the time to take heart and press on. For God still creates us. God still speaks us into new being through God's eternal word. Still blows us into new life by God's renewing breath. Still cares for God's good world. We need to tell the stories of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and Eric Garner and Trayvon Martin and Sandra Bland. We need to say their names. But we also need to tell the stories of what led to their stories. There is power in story. There is power in speech and creativity and communication. There is power in manyness. Let's use our words. Let's tell true stories. For those of us whose voices have drowned out the voices of others for too long, let's listen to other stories. Sometimes terrible, painful stories. Sometimes remarkable, inspiring stories. And let's acknowledge that the story of slavery, the story of Jim Crow, the story of mass incarceration, the story of continued systemic brutality against people of color are stories we need to repent of as a nation. Now, as one, repent of and repair. Because as I well know, you can't begin to heal from surgery until you have the surgery, until the disease is cut out and cleaned out and the wound sewn up. Only then can the healing begin. So let us listen for God's voice. And respond to God's movement so that we, as individuals, as a church, as a nation, may be recreated in the glorious image of a just and loving, diverse and dynamic, communal and communing, everlasting, one true God. Amen.